Well, have you ever heard the saying that begins with the measure of a man? Yeah, you've heard that. Yeah. The true measure of a man. Well, first of all, man there, it really means person. It's gender neutral. Like mankind means humankind. Same thing. It refers to male or female, the measure of a person. And that phrase, the measure of a man, goes back thousands of years. It's been used by different people, many different people, in slightly different ways over the years. But what are they getting at? What's the measure that they're talking about, they're referring to? Well, they're talking about how to judge a person, how a person is to be judged or evaluated. Now, the Bible famously tells us not to judge, right? But that is primarily a reference to a person's salvation. We are not to judge anyone else's salvation. That's not our job. Whose job is that? A big picture of him over my right shoulder last time I looked, right? That's his job. That's not our job. Now, people do it all the time, right? Even though it's super clear in the Bible. Some things aren't so clear in the Bible. That one is. That's his job, to judge people's salvation. That's reserved only for the Son. Last time I checked, the Son is him, not you or me. But, judging people from the standpoint of evaluating their behavior or discerning their character, yeah, we're supposed to do that. You know, the whole cast not your pearls among swine line. That comes right after that judge not thing. That's part of it. That's something we are, in fact, supposed to do. And so, yes, we do measure, evaluate the character and nature of people. Yep, we do. And if you're working, like if you have a job, you probably get a performance evaluation every once in a while, right? Annually at least. And here's kind of a funny story. Tim used to sit me down once a year and try to give me an evaluation. That was kind of sweet of him, right? Kind of funny. And I took the opportunity to turn the tables on him when he did that. He'd start talking to me a little bit, and I'd fall asleep. Right. I thought that was pretty cute. Yeah, he'd say, Phil, I think your sermons should be a little, and I'd go, I'd just fall right to sleep. I thought that was funny. But yeah, on your job, you get reviewed. You get reviewed based on, you know, how many cars you sold or how many new customers you brought in or how many loans you made, that type of a thing, whatever it may be. Those are the types of measures of a person's performance. But in the saying, the measure of a man, they're getting at something different, something deeper than that. Now, here are a few examples of that phrase beginning in ancient Greece, circa 400 BC. Plato said this: the measure of a man is what he does with power. Now, what he does with power. Does he use it for his own enrichment? His own benefit? Or for the benefit of others, for example? Pretty good question, right? Great question. I think a pretty good test of a person's measure, the measure of a man. That was from Plato. And then in the 1700s, a couple thousand years later, the English writer Samuel Johnson is credited for saying this: the true measure of a man is how he treats someone who can do him absolutely no good. Think of that one. That's pretty good, right? It kind of reminds me of what the Bible says about what you've done for the least of these. You know? That's pretty good. That's a really good one. And I'm going to give you one more, just one more. And there's dozens that you can find. But here's one more. Now, this is from Martin Luther King Jr., circa the 1960s. He said this: "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Yeah, okay. We often talk about that type of thing here. Times of celebration and times of struggle. We mentioned that a lot. Dr. King is saying our true colors are actually shown in times of struggle. Yeah, it's probably true. And there are many other variations you can find of the true measure of a man idea, if you kind of Google that. But of course, what you will notice about all of them, none of them say anything like this: the true measure of a man is the size of his house. The true measure of a man is how much money he has. The true measure of a man is what kind of car he drives. Right? Nope, none of that. None of them say anything like that. Now listen, that is not to say that hard work and doing well, you know, aren't good things. I think they are good things. You do want to do well and work hard. Get good grades in school. Get good evaluations on your performance review at work. Unless you're me being reviewed by Tim. I don't care. But that is not the true, the ultimate measure of a man. And the Bible tells us so. One of my favorite short and simple Bible verses comes from King Solomon, Mr. Wisest Man that ever lived, right? In Proverbs 21:2, he tells us in five simple words how we're measured by God. He says simply, "The Lord weighs the heart." And of course, the heart is just a metaphor for a person's true character, nature. Our own St. Paul might say, the fruit of a person's spirit. And in our gospel reading today, the greatest teacher who ever lived gave us a difficult, very challenging lesson on the true measure of a man. Jesus tells us this. He says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the face, turn the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt. Give and lend, expecting nothing in return." Right? Easy to do any of those? Nope. Why? Why does he tell us to do that? And then he concludes it. He says, "For with the measure you use, you will also be measured." He's saying we must measure others with love and grace and forgiveness, because we will need it ourselves. We will need to be measured the same way by God. We're going to need that love and grace and forgiveness from God. If the measure of a man, the measure of any person, according to Jesus Christ, is how well they, you know, love their enemies and do good to those who hate them, bless those who persecute them, etc., etc., How well will we measure up? What do you think? Probably not so good. Probably not so good. And that's the point. He knows it. That's the point. We're going to fall short. We try, I hope, but we're going to fall short. We need to keep trying, keep getting better, but we're going to fall short, and we're going to need God's grace. And yes, it is assured, but there is a cost and a catch to it. We will be measured by the measure we use in the here and now towards others. So he says, verse 37, forgive and you will be forgiven. It kind of always comes in that order, even in the Lord's Prayer, if you recall. You'll hear it later. Think about it. Listen for it. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Our first reading today provides not only one of the best examples of forgiveness ever recorded, but also in line with Samuel Johnson's Measure of a Man, it's a great example of doing good for others who can do you absolutely no good in return. And in line with Plato's Measure of a Man, it's a great example of the use of power. Such is the story of the reconciliation of Joseph with his brothers. The same brothers who, when they had power over him, what did they do? They sold him into slavery, right? They sold their own brother into slavery. But now, in contrast, Joseph has immense power, and he has power over them, and they are begging and starving. They have nothing to offer to him. Yet Joseph shows them mercy, grace, forgiveness. He saves them. They would otherwise starve to death. So in closing, what might we propose with our lesson today as being the true measure of a man? Grace and forgiveness towards others. Loving and serving others. Trying hard each day to follow the challenging lessons of Jesus Christ, even though we know we're going to fall short. This is the true measure of a man. Amen.